The views expressed in this program are those of the participants.
This message is for Donald Trump, okay? And if you're not Donald Trump, can you get this message to him? Listen, Donald, you keep saying that you want to debate me, right? Oh, here I am. I'm ready, okay? Anytime, anywhere, you just bring it. Oh, okay. Ma'am, he's here. He's here. He's in the building. And so, what? Where? He's here? Yeah. I gotta go. Let's go. Quick.
Welcome, everyone. It is Wednesday, September 25th, 2024. I'm Bob Metz, and this is Just Right, broadcasting around the world and online. Join us for an hour of discussion that's not right-wing. It's Just Right.
Fade into color, color into black and white. Under the bedclothes, everything will be alright.
Houston, we have a problem. Never mind the elephant in the room, what we have is a whale of a problem. A whale that has not only swallowed the elephant, but everyone else in the room as well. The problem is this. The Democratic Party and all those on the left believe that murder and violence and hatred are completely acceptable in the field of politics and elections. What they call political violence is seen by them as an acceptable form of persuasion. But there's no such thing as political violence, it's just violence. Trying to justify violence by virtue signaling one's political ideology is immoral, as the act is criminal. And because ends and means are always the same, that means that whenever the left takes control of the government, murder and violence are also acceptable as a means of governing and of achieving one's political ends. But that's only half the problem. The other half is this. For those who do not believe in murder and violence as the means to achieve an electoral or political victory, they have to solve the dilemma of how can they possibly defeat an armed and deadly sociopathic political ideology by peaceful means. I mean, that form of political discourse used to be referred to broadly as democracy, which makes the dystopian claims of the left that democracy is in peril if a majority elects Donald Trump suspect, to say the least. And then you can add to the confusion, the uninformed voter, the non-player character, the NPC we talked about, who as a demographic forms that group that ultimately determines the outcome of a given election. So like it or not, we the people, whether NPC, well-informed, uninformed, principled, or unprincipled, we the people are in the middle of a war against they, the politicians. How that war might be won or lost is well worth considering, which is why we'll be doing exactly that right after our reminder that you can write us at feedback@justrightmedia.org, hear us on WBCQ and on Channel 292 Shortwave, follow and like us on your favorite podcast platform, and visit us at justrightmedia.org, where you can access all of our social media links, archive broadcasts, and the support button that makes it easy for you to support the show. Because as always, your financial support is appreciated and is what makes this show possible. When persuasion fails, just use force. This basically describes the position in which the left and the Democrats currently, and for most of the time in the past, have found themselves. They find themselves reduced to having to use force because their methods of persuasion, let alone what they're trying to persuade us about, which is a constant barrage of lies mixed with censorship efforts, those methods have failed to persuade enough people to their side. The inability of the left to persuade a majority is because the left has no valid arguments or objectives with which to do that. That's why leftists almost never participate in forums where they must debate someone on the true right. one of the greatest and undemocratic evils being committed by those targeting Donald Trump, with everything from lawfare to murder, is the fact that the vast majority of people in America, whether they know why or not, they support Donald Trump. And in attacking Trump, the Democrats and the left are also attacking Americans and everything that America is purported to represent. I mean, even from their point of view, the majority, held as the holy grail for those who say they support democracy, is exactly what and who is being attacked by the so-called Democrats. You've seen or heard the Donald Trump meme, "It's not me they're after, it's you. I'm just in the way." And that's more true than any of us might want to admit. So the whale of a problem that we have going into the next election is that I fear that democracy, as in, you know, fair elections, will not alone resolve any of the issues that currently confront Americans. And that's even if they have a totally fair election. Because Democrats and the left have been repeatedly telling us that there's no way they will allow Trump into the White House, even if he wins a landslide electoral victory, which he did in 2020, by the way. Can you imagine them saying that out loud? In a democracy? How come they haven't been hauled away already, arrested somewhere? So they're not even consenting to the democratic process, let alone participating in it. The problem with the left is that it is utterly totalitarian and tyrannical, which makes any attempts to negotiate, debate, or even tolerate the left among us a futile effort based on a futile expectation. The left doesn't even believe in free speech. And you know, if you wanted to hold them against their own ideals, you could say, censor everything that they say. Because to do so, in a democratic context, would be perfectly consistent with the standards of the left. But of course, they wouldn't want their speech to be censored in any way. To some extent, elections have been stolen for as long as elections have existed. In non-democratic countries, elections are held as a matter of ritual, usually forcing voters to vote for a single candidate or party, or by prohibitively narrowing their choices to choices that aren't really choices at all. I mean, we've all heard it, it's the uniparty, right? In a democracy, however, elections are supposed to represent the will of the people, which itself is ridiculous, actually, since the only thing you can vote for in an election is a particular individual or candidate. Your will isn't involved at all beyond the act of choosing the vote or not. In fact, most voters don't even vote for what they want. They vote against what they don't want. Since most people vote against and not for, it might be more accurate to say that elections represent the want of the people. So they justify evil and supposedly choosing the lesser of it, even if the good is a choice available to them. You know, maybe this phenomenon should be called the tragedy of the democratic commons. Most rational people just want to be left alone. But this is not in the nature of politicians. They want to be seen as doing something, usually when nothing needs to be done, because that distracts them from their not doing something where something does need to be done. The consistent political pendulum that swings back and forth between the left wing and the right wing results in no change at all, but only reflects how voters persistently vote against. It's not the will of the people being exercised, it's the want of the people being exercised, which explains why we're where we are today. Now we'll be hearing about a couple of examples of that as we head into our first bumper break, featuring on this side of the bumper, Britain's Neil Oliver lamenting the end of democracy, and on the return side of the bumper, Dinesh D'Souza and his wife Debbie offer us a disturbing example of conservatives and Republicans voting against Trump.
Now is the season to have our noses well and truly rubbed in how the powerful see their place in the world, and which matters most, how they see our place in that world. I say the puppeteers and their masters have set themselves on high while we are supposed quietly to come to terms with the fact we are, in their eyes, the lowest of the low. Democracy be damned. Not only do our opinions not matter, they're likely to land us in jail if we voice them. And if you have any spoken loyalty to poor old battered Britain, woe betide you. Britain is a controlled demolition project, and if you don't like it, then too bad. The old notions of the people of Britain being able to count on political parties dedicated to defending them against the predatory excesses of the rich, the vampiric big corporations, the infinitely greedy money men, those outmoded fancies have been drowned before our eyes like a litter of kittens tied in a sack with a breeze block and flung in a river. The message is that the days of democracy are gone. When it comes to having our noses rubbed in it, the discarding of democracy, the censorship of dissent, the jailing of people with opinions that run counter to those of the powerful, things like that matter rather more. A regular guest on this show is Colonel Douglas McGregor, war veteran, military analyst and sometime advisor to the Trump White House. This week, in conversation elsewhere about the war in Ukraine and how it's being pushed by Britain ever closer to global thermonuclear war, he referred to, quote, "this man Starmer, who is at war with his own population, locking people up, punishing his own people, at the same time he is a strident advocate for war with Russia," end quote. I listen to the Colonel and remind myself he's a war-hardened man, a White House advisor, a senior military analyst, born and raised by our ally, and this is how he assesses the British Prime Minister. He also said of Starmer, quote, "he doesn't seem to understand how vulnerable Britain and NATO is to Russian weapons and capabilities. He's capable of dragging us into something that we ultimately don't want, which is an open war between the US and Russia," close quote. Zelensky is no longer the legitimate leader of Ukraine. He has run out the clock on his presidency, ruling by fiat. Still, we're told this war is about defending democracy. It's never been that. I've said it before and I'll say it again, that the social contract between us and them is utterly broken and that they broke it, not by accident, but by malice aforethought. In the US, the plight of the town of Springfield, Ohio is a parable for the betrayal of the people that has been perpetrated by the powerful, not just here, but all over. In just 3 years in Springfield, a town of 60,000 has been swamped by 20,000 refugees from the US-driven chaos, decades in the making, in Haiti. The townspeople were effectively told, figure it out. And there you have it. Here's the thing. I say all across the West, the social contract has been utterly destroyed by the powerful. Still, taxes, increasingly ruinous taxes, are hoovered up from people. It's my opinion that taxes now are no more and no less than the collection of money with menaces, the forced funding of organised crime. Anyone who thinks their road tax goes to maintain the roads or that their income tax goes to build hospitals is dreaming. I say your taxes are collected now for one reason and one reason only, so that you don't have that money. It's about immiseration and nothing more. It comes down to warmongers and money, and in pursuit of every last cent, every last penny, the ultimate enemy is us.
Are the American people clueless? Are the American people smart? Do the American people get it? My thought is that the American people are somewhat in the middle, but they do have a capacity to see through things. When they are put into a dark room, their senses and their mind goes alert, and they're able to spot things. And they're able also, with a small gesture, a turn of a face, they're able to interpret psychological clues. So all of this is a way of saying, I don't think people lack the capacity of being able to see through what is happening. The media is putting on, I agree, they're putting on a massive show. And they are trying to create an artificial Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like this is Kamala Harris like 2.0. This is, we want you to believe in this Kamala Harris and not the real Kamala Harris that you've been seeing off and on for the past 4 years or even more than that. And I think people will recognize that this is a scam.
Well, contrary to your opinion, the Post garnered like so many people to talk about it.
React to it.
This woman, for most conservatives I know, like me, who are voting for Harris, we do not see her godlike or even that great of an option. We're voting against the immoral, federally indicted Trump. We're excited to have a better option than Biden. But it's not that most of us think she's so great. It's our moral conscience that leads us to vote for Harris this election as a vote against Trump. I see a lot of conservatives on my thread saying the same thing. We feel Trump has the potential to overthrow our democracy. I mean,
so this is never Trump, Trump derangement syndrome, right? Because think about it. For all the people who say Trump is going to overthrow our democracy, you just have to ask, number one, the guy was in office.
Uh-huh.
Name one thing he did. Now, of course, I know the answer. Well, what about January 6th? Well, can you prove that Trump instigated people and told them to go inside the Capitol and try to interrupt the process? What's your basis for suggesting, as if it were fact, that he did that?
So I have an answer to that. Basically, this is what happened, okay? These women that are answering this post saying, oh, yes, he's a threat to democracy, blah, blah, blah. Okay, what happens is they're not really on it. Like, they disconnect. They may go vote and then they go live their lives. They take care of their children. They take care of their families. They do their jobs, whatever. But they don't really see what goes on. The people that went to the Capitol on January 6th did it because they knew something was up. They weren't feeling quite as motivated as some people are. Okay, you know what? He lost the election. Move on. They knew something was up. They knew something was not right.
And they knew the far-reaching implications of that. Because if let's say the 2020 election was stolen, that sets up every subsequent election to be stolen.
Not to mention that alone is the true destruction of democracy.
Right.
While the left cries crocodile tears about the threats to democracy that Trump represents, the actual people who are despairing about the loss of democracy are not the Democrats or the left. It's those on the right who are having their democratic rights systematically dismantled one step at a time. I found it interesting that Dinesh D'Souza, in addressing whether Americans were clueless or smart, pointed out that they have the capacity to see. Which begs the greater question. If they have such a capacity to see, why don't they? As Ayn Rand once explained, thinking is an act of choice. It is not automatic. Quote, psychologically, the choice to think or not is the choice to focus or not. Existentially, the choice to focus or not is the choice to be conscious or not. Metaphysically, the choice to be conscious or not is the choice of life or death. Thinking is man's only basic virtue from which all the others proceed, and his basic vice, the source of all his evils, is the willful suspension of one's consciousness, the refusal to think, not blindness, but the refusal to see, not ignorance, but the refusal to know. It is the act of unfocusing your mind and inducing an inner fog to escape the responsibility of judgment. End quote. As if to complete Ayn Rand's point, Debbie D'Souza describes the conservatives voting against Trump in terms of how, quote, they disconnect. They don't see what's going on, end quote. And those conservatives voting against Trump are a perfect exhibit of what I called exercising the won't of the people as opposed to the will of the people. Since most people vote against and not for, they justify evil in supposedly choosing the lesser of it, even if the good is a choice available to them. So consider how these so-called conservatives say that they arrived at their decision. We do not see Kamala godlike or even that great of an option. We're voting against the immoral, federally indicted Trump. It's not so much that we think that she's great. It's our moral conscience that leads us to vote for Harris in this election as a vote against Trump. We feel Trump has the potential to overthrow democracy. Wow. What irony. It is the actions of people like these conservatives that are responsible for overthrowing democracy. That such utter BS is seen as some kind of virtue signaling of their morality is simply shameful. They have admitted that Kamala is not a great option, but support Kamala as a statement against Trump. Seems to me if you didn't want to vote for Trump, they could have done that by staying home and not voting at all. Or maybe they could have voted for some other party entirely, like, say, the Capitalist Party. But no, they chose evil as their moral prerogative. And lesser evil or not, it's still evil. Now, some might argue that they didn't know any better because they've been listening to the corporate legacy media, to which I would respond, so they chose evil as the source of their information, and they did not even make the effort to entertain any viewpoints that might reflect the truth. Dinesh referred to this reaction as being part of the Trump derangement syndrome. It occurs to me that the Trump derangement syndrome is best described by the process Ayn Rand identified, the willful suspension of one's consciousness, which itself is evil. Thinking also requires a lot of effort. To focus on an issue or concept is not a passive process, and I speak from experience. It is an active process, one with which I torture myself each week in preparing for this show. And to believe that Trump is some version of Hitler exposes extraordinary ignorance or malice on the part of those pushing this propaganda of hate. Even if the propaganda is being used to justify assassinating Trump, it's illogical, even when isolated to fantasies of assassinating Hitler himself. You've probably heard about this nonsensical notion brought up from time to time. If you could go back in time and kill Hitler before he came to power, would you do it? Many say yes, assumedly believing that some kind of Holocaust would have been prevented had they done this. I don't believe that for a minute. If you kill Hitler, then another tyrant will simply take his place because Hitler was a consequence of the fascist mindset of his time, not only in Germany, but around the world as well. Kind of like Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Justin Trudeau, and most of the current leadership in Europe today. And if you killed Hitler, then what of Stalin? Perhaps there would have been a worse Holocaust without Hitler. We already have evidence of this principle in the way America has conducted its perpetual foreign war strategy. Every time they eliminate one evil dictator, they get another dictator, usually much worse than the one removed. Why would you expect anything else? Of course, Trump doesn't fit this pattern at all, since his philosophy is entirely the opposite of any kind of dictatorship. But Kamala does qualify as a dictator, which is exactly why no one is concerned about assassinating her, because there are plenty of democratic totalitarians to fill her role. Trump, on the other hand, is less easily replaceable, and as we'll be hearing from Michael Knowles later on, assassins don't target politicians who are powerless. Some people believe that America will fragment into exclusively blue and red states, and there are those who would welcome that development. I mean, they're saying, like, wouldn't it be nice if those of us on the right could be completely separate and disengage with all those on the left? That would end all the polarization, right? It would end the constant conflict and avoid a civil war. But this argument is no different, in principle, from the killing Hitler when he was a baby argument. Suppose the blue communist states of the left separated from the red capitalist states of the right. Being communist, those states would eventually become impoverished, while the free states would become productive and affluent. How long do you suppose it would be before the commies would attack the capitalists? Not long. Their envy would soon overwhelm them. The fact that election integrity is even an issue speaks to a truly fundamental form of fraud. Because ensuring open and honest election counts is so basic and easy a task that the current argument about this should be moot. The left is not only a death cult, it is a cult of violence, coercion, and fraud. This cult has become institutionalized and politicized through the Democratic Party. Murder is a perfectly acceptable democratic means to one's end, as they proudly boast in ever-increasing numbers. Just ask Glenn Beck, who in his September 19th podcast brought the reality of this democratic dystopia to our attention.
Donald Trump, they cannot allow this movement to continue. It can't be done. They can't allow the symbol of this movement, Donald Trump, to keep talking. And as sure as hell, they cannot allow him to win. They have tried everything, smear campaigns, special counsels, indictments, raids on his home, even the incitement of violence. It has been this way now nearly a decade.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
Press always asks me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish during high school I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
I said, no, I said, if we were in high school, I'd take you behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
That you cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
President Walker, how do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
They go low, we kick.
Please, get up in the face of some Congress people.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Well, so Trump released that video yesterday. Words have consequences. Ever since the summer of rage, people have shown a willingness to commit violence, and there has been little to no consequence for the left. And it is no surprise at all where we find ourselves today. This weekend, Donald Trump survived his second assassination attempt. Now, I just wanted to put this into perspective, if we're keeping score. He now has as many assassination attempts as Kamala Harris has had interviews with the media. Donald Trump stands in the way of a massive global agenda. This election is currently being conducted in the middle of a frightening reality. The media and left-wing politicians are trying to obscure that reality. They're trying to get everybody to just focus on Orange Man bad because it blinds everybody and puts them in their lizard brains. It's unlike anything we have ever faced. It's a psyop. Today's reality is tomorrow's horror show, and the globalist agenda will stop at nothing to make sure we all stay blindfolded and asleep.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, it's just true, folks. Democrat voters are the dumbest people in the country. And the evidence is just overwhelming. There's this viral post. It's going everywhere right now, and the liberals think they've figured it out. They think that they finally got it, the logical, or what they think is illogical conclusion of Elon Musk here. Because he's supporting Trump and talking about illegal immigration. And so I just sent you guys this tweet. It's totally viral. It'll be like 50 million views probably. And this girl says, I don't understand why Elon Musk is talking about immigration so much like he isn't one himself. And the liberals are all eating it up. They're all eating it up in the replies. They're all retweeting it like, ah, yes, ha-ha, we got him. Yes, we owned you, Elon Musk. We outsmarted you, conservatives. Ah, ha-ha, yeah. You just owned yourself. If you are too stupid, if you are too much of a political mongoloid to know the difference between illegal immigrants and immigrants, or maybe even more specifically, Elon Musk and a third world import that cooks cats, then yeah, you're too stupid to vote. Okay? Okay.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's just like, I wish there was helping these people. I genuinely thought, I used to have arguments with Alex Jones on air about this. When I first came to InfoWars, I genuinely thought that you could help these people. I genuinely thought that if they could see the truth or see reality or find logic again, common sense again, reasoning again, rationality again, that you could actually maybe change their mind or, you know, bring us all together, have that unity. But I mean, what am I supposed to do if you don't even get the difference between Elon Musk and a third world import from Haiti? I mean, you're shot. I don't know what I can do for you. Maybe when a Haitian cooks your cat, you'll figure it out.
What's your most important issue?
The economy, getting the interest rates down, getting it where we can afford to live in America. Right now, it's too expensive.
Okay, now, let me maybe ask like a slightly impolite question. But, you know, if you can afford a boat, you're not hurting so bad, right? Because a boat costs a lot of money and it's a lot of upkeep.
Listen, nobody gave me shit. I earned everything that I've got. I'm retired military, retired power plant, and I am successful and retired and with boats, jet skis, because I did it right. And everybody has that chance. Whether they choose or not, that's up to them.
I would never try to take anything away from you in that way. But what I'm asking is, groceries are probably a smaller part of your budget than, say, you know, someone who's like a little worse off. I think it's interesting that people who are a little bit more comfortable are still so concerned about the economy. Do you see what I'm saying?
Because I want my money to go further. I want inflation to go down. I want interest rates to go back down. I want all that, but that covers everybody in the economy. Not just me, not just the poor, not just the rich. It covers everybody.
Now, something I've heard from some people, tell me if this applies to you, is like they're worried their kids aren't able to afford a house or a car.
No, I train my kids and taught my kids properly. They have great educations, and they're both successful in their careers. Actually, they're doing better than me.
Now, that interview is actually so important to understand the mind of these liberals, folks. It might even be one of the most important 60 seconds of the liberal mindset that you could ever see. She says to him, you own a boat, so you must be doing well. So that's right out of the gates, pretty broad assumption, but maybe fair. Maybe it's fair. But okay, so right out of the gates, just assuming things about somebody, right out of the gates. But then says, well, you have a boat, so you must be doing well. So why do you care? What? Why does he care? Why wouldn't he care? Think about what she just projected. This is the epitome of liberal elitism. And it will, and when you understand this, you understand why every single Democrat city goes to shit. She says, you're doing great. Why do you care about the poor? Because that's how they think. They've got everything they need. They don't care about the poor. She just said it all right there. Hey, you're rich like me. What do you care about the poor? That's it. That's all you need to know about these people. From that dingbat CNN reporter all the way to the top with Kamala Harris. That's everything you need to know about the liberal elite right there.
You are listening to Just Right, broadcasting around the world and online. That was Olin Schroyer, who I think on this particular point regarding what he called the liberal mindset, missed an important element of that mindset, namely envy. I really think that the interviewer's concern was less about the economy than it was about justifying some kind of way, as the Marxists put it, to make the rich pay. Although this envy was framed in the context of caring about the economy, it has to be acknowledged that the economy is not some separate entity disconnected from human beings. The economy is about human beings trading with one another. And there are two and only two kinds of economies. a free economy and a controlled economy. I can imagine some people saying, wait a minute, we live in a mixed economy, partially free and partially controlled. To the extent that this is the case, well, you're not really dealing with a mixed economy because control and freedom are like oil and water. They don't mix. What you really have in a so-called mixed economy would be better described as two distinct and separate economies. You know, this reminds me a bit of those people who say that they're in the center of the political spectrum, which doesn't even have a freedom position anywhere on that so-called spectrum. And you'll hear terms like, I'm center-right or center-left, being used as if these things were even definable. For example, once you engage in politically legalized theft, you are strictly under the umbrella of the left. Centrists might say that stealing $10 is center-left, stealing $1 million is far-left. But the operative word here is not the amount of theft, it's the word stealing. Robbing Peter to pay Paul is a saying completely synonymous with politics and government today. And that is a completely leftist practice based on statist principles. But most voters do not think enough about these basic issues and definitions when they exercise their vote. I wish there was helping these people, says Schroyer. Well, I wish that too. But as we've learned over and over again, you can't fix stupid. Paul McKeever, in a September 21st text to my attention, expanded on this observation. Quote, the problem is not that they're stupid per se. They're quite aware that they're stupid. They're quite aware that their betters are capable of understanding what they cannot. But they know one another. They detect it when one of their kind project an association correlation that is clearly a lie or is baseless, but that can benefit them. At that point, they know how to conspire, to multiply the voices of the lie and baseless claim. They understand that the truth does not matter, that they can survive by way of numbers, by way of consensus, and that, by way of consensus, they can claim to be the voice of reason, of science, and of truth. We, those capable of detecting not just correlation, Hume, but also causation, Rand, are the minority that they, the missing link, most fear. This isn't a war between the merely something-for-nothings and the earners. It's a war between the physically incapable and the capable, and they know that they are the incapable. It's Nietzsche's slaves versus slave masters all over again, the transvaluation of all values, end quote.
Today's conspiracy theories, tomorrow's truths.
Some of these conspiracy theories have turned out to be true.
Which ones?
The Trump-Russia witch hunt, Jeffrey Epstein, JFK assassination, the misuse of the Patriot Act, the Iraq war, the weapons of mass destruction, the war in Ukraine, the bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline, the open border migration caravans, the climate change scam, chemtrails, and HARP, and 9/11 being an inside job, and the Internet of Things surveillance grid, and PFAS, and chemicals in the water turning everyone gay, and the 2020 election being stolen, and January 6th being filled with undercover feds, and Bilderberg, and Bohemian Grove, and global government, not to mention gain-of-function research, and the threat of China, and collapsing birth rates, and defund the police, and George Soros, and mail-in ballots, and big tech censorship, and disinformation agencies, and Obama's birth certificate, and probably some others I can't think of. I mean, so a few of them. I guess a couple of them have been true.
This election is being conducted in the middle of a frightening reality, notes Glenn Beck in an understatement of biblical proportions. America and most of the Western world are experiencing a complete collapse of the rule of law and due process. They have been consumed by the ideology of woke, Marxism, communism, fascism, socialism, tyranny, totalitarianism, and anyone who points it out is branded a conspiracy theorist. Now here's the Michael Knowles commentary I briefly referred to earlier.
So there's this claim that migrants in Ohio are grilling cats. And the left has said that this is fake news. Trump brought it up in the debate. Left has said this is debunked, fake news, hateful, xenophobic, racist, terrible language. So Chris Rufo, a national treasure, has footage of, this is gross. If you don't, if you're watching the show, maybe close your eyes for the next 10 seconds. He has footage of a cat being grilled in Ohio. So you can look at, even for me, I'm not the biggest animal person in the world, and it's, I can't even look at it. Chris writes, we have discovered that migrants are in fact eating cats in Ohio. We have verified with multiple witnesses and visual cross-references that African migrants in Dayton, the next city over from Springfield, barbecued these cats last summer. And I can already hear the rebuttal. I can hear what the operatives at Media Matters or Right Wing Watch or whichever left-wing group is presently watching the live broadcast. They're going to say, Michael, this proves that we're right. Because Trump said that it was Haitian migrants in Springfield, Ohio, grilling cats. And that video only shows that it was African migrants in Dayton, Ohio, grilling cats. Ha ha! Debunked. Seven Pinocchios. Ha ha, it's a lie. Please pardon my imprecision, perhaps my sloppy read of politics. It doesn't really matter to me if the migrants grilling pet cats are from a slightly different country and doing so in a slightly different Ohio town. That seems like a minor part of the story. Migrants are grilling pets in America. That is true. The libs told you that that isn't happening, and we have a video of it happening. And it's happening not by Afro-Caribbean migrants, but by African migrants. And it's happening not in Springfield, but in Dayton. And who knows? It's probably happening in Springfield too, and it's probably other migrants too, but we just don't know. I'm saying we only have video, actual video, you're seeing it with your own eyes evidence of this happening. And that's going to be the rebuttal from the libs. I have to tell you, to me, this is vindicating Trump bringing up the cats and the dogs in the debate. All the genius pundits said, oh, why did he have to bring up the... why? He just should lay off the cats and the dogs. It's weird. It's very online. Why can't he just focus on the economy? And this is... you'll hear this often from GOP strategists. Just talk about the economy. You know, this was basically the whole Mitt Romney campaign. Just talk about the economy. It didn't work very well, of course, against Barack Obama. And Trump goes out there and goes, they're eating the cats! They're eating the dogs! And... that was the most compelling moment of the debate for most people, or certainly up there, maybe with the abortion exchange. And the GOP consultants, though, head in their hands. Just, oh, no, this is absolutely terrible. Well, I don't know. What was the consequence of that? The consequence of that moment was the left took the bait, started reacting, said this was totally fake. Then the conservatives were able to prove it's real with video evidence. And everyone else was so jarred by it, they started talking about, wait, what? Eat the cats, eat the dogs. It trended on TikTok. They're eating the cats, eating the dogs. And you got Zoomers like doing little jigs to it. And then what happened? As they're all debating this, whether or not migrants are eating cats and dogs, people are then once again talking about the immigration issue, which is one of the strongest issues for Trump. And it is the weak point for the Democrats. And it has actually reframed the national conversation in a way that I think benefits Trump. And now Kamala wanted to frame the election as one about access to contraception and IVF or something. Trump has reframed it again by speaking in his compelling way about migration. And he did it by talking about migrants eating cats and dogs, which they are doing. You know that this is a sensitive spot for the libs because they are calling Trump's ticket Nazi over it. What it shows you is that the left doesn't understand really anything about the right. So there are two options for patriotism in the left's mind. A kind of civic nationalism where America's just an idea, totally disconnected from historical reality. And blood and soil, Nazism, where it's all just about the race and the purity of the race, and that's all that nationalism's about. A 63 days after the first attempt on President Trump, which took off part of his ear, 50 days before the presidential election, President Trump was almost assassinated again. So, of course, the liberal media reported on the assassination attempt by blaming it on Trump.
Today's apparent assassination attempt comes amid increasingly fierce rhetoric on the campaign trail itself. Mr. Trump, his running mate J.D. Vance, continue to make baseless claims about Haitian immigrants in Ohio. This weekend, there were new bomb threats in that town. Our Maggie Vespa is in Columbus, Ohio, with more.
Lester, simply put, Springfield, Ohio has been inundated by threats. Over the last several days, closing government buildings, schools, hospitals.
The assassination attempt today, the second assassination attempt on Donald Trump, comes as he totally deserves it. He totally deserves it because he said that migrants are eating cats in Ohio, which they are, by the way. He says it's a baseless claim. We have the evidence for it. But even if it were fake, by the way, even if it were totally fake, which it's not, it's real. But even if what he said had absolutely zero basis in reality, you're going to tell me, the real story here is how much Trump deserves to be shot. That is a pretty extreme take, even for the establishment media. They hate Trump. But they don't want to talk about the attempted assassination, the second attempted assassination of the former president and current Republican presidential nominee. They immediately blame him for almost being killed again and then move on to some other stupid story. That's weird. They don't want to talk about it. The clearest takeaway is this. Assassins generally don't target politicians who are or are likely to remain powerless. First of all, the two people who have now tried to kill Trump were both Democrat donors and rabidly anti-Trump, obviously. And Kamala Harris on the Ellen DeGeneres show joked about killing him.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
What? Okay, some people are going to listen to this and say, oh, you know, it's just a joke. And what, you wouldn't make a joke about that? You and one of your enemies is in it. Oh, is one of us going to come out alive? Okay, you're right. That is just a joke. It's just a joke, right? Except in this case, it isn't. It's just a joke, except in this case, the Democrats have told the joke so many times and with such a straight face. And then they've followed through on the joke and they've made it a reality. They've made it a very serious fact. Was Maxine Waters joking when she said, when you see Republicans in public, you got to push back on them. You got to show them they're not welcome here. Was Hillary Clinton joking when she said, you can't be civil with these people, you can't be civil with Republicans? Was the assassin joking when he left California to show up to the home of Justice Brett Kavanaugh and try to murder him and potentially his family? Were the leftists, were they joking when they protested outside the home of Sam Alito in violation of the law which was not enforced, and forced Alito to flee his home? Were they joking? Was the shooter in Pennsylvania, he was just joking. It was all just kind of a joke. Were they joking when they said Trump poses an existential threat to democracy and he's a Nazi and he admires Nazis and he threatens the very existence of the republic? It's only a joke if you're joking. They're not joking. Kamala isn't joking. She cackled when she made that joke, but these guys are deadly serious. Emphasis on the word deadly.
It's like, hey, do you want to back off the rhetoric now that, you know, you guys are trying to get Trump killed? Do you think they back off of it?
If you think it's time for Democrats to stop calling Trump a threat to democracy.
No, fact of the matter is that he is a threat to democracy.
No, I think we should be clear that he is a threat to democracy.
Do you think that the rhetoric, though, needs to be toned down?
I think his rhetoric should be toned down, absolutely.
Listen, these are the facts. He is a threat, period, point blank.
Man, how do you even respond to that? He's a threat to democracy. How many votes did Kamala Harris get? He's a threat to democracy. They don't even want voter ID. They don't even want proof of citizenship. They want Trump dead. They want Trump dead. They don't even hide it anymore. They don't give a damn. It's good versus evil. It's common sense versus nonsense. It's death versus life. It's poverty versus prosperity. But it's these Democrats are just outright evil people. And they say Trump needs to tone down the rhetoric. Well, what left are we to do but to call you out? You want Trump dead. You want Trump supporters dead. You want the country dead. You want the economy to collapse. You want our borders wide open. You want crime rates to skyrocket. And you sit here after multiple assassination attempts on Donald Trump, after thousands of assaults on Trump supporters, and you point the finger at us? At us?
You know, for some reason, I find myself asking, who are the parents of these media pundits who are saying that Trump deserves to be shot? Did they not bring up these now adults with even 1 ounce of civilization or decency in their bones anywhere? I find it appalling. A civilized society is one in which the initiation of force is prohibited by law. A person who resorts to force to achieve some objective is rightly referred to as being uncivilized, criminal to boot. This is a civilizational collapse, correctly observes Michael Knowles. But you can't be civil with Republicans, says Hillary Clinton. With that statement, Hillary Clinton has bragged to the entire world that she is uncivilized, incapable of refraining from the use of force and fraud to get what she wants. And when it comes to deciding between ballots or bullets, the uncivilized among us always shoot the bullets and corrupt the ballots. And in addressing Owen Schroyer's frustration regarding how to respond to all the stupid statements about Trump being a threat to democracy, I've only got one immediate response. Tell the truth. Ask for an example of a Trump threat to democracy. It's not that you'll be able in the short term to persuade or convince those who have chosen not to think, but others will hear you. Don't let the NPCs be the ones who bring you down.
But see, oh my gosh, those damn Republicans, those damn Trump supporters, they want us to hand count ballots. They want to make sure that the vote is correct and the results are right. They're a threat to democracy. Those damn Republicans want to make sure the elections are done fairly. They're a threat to democracy. Those damn Republicans want voter ID laws. They want you to be able to prove you're a citizen. Threat to democracy. I want Kamala Harris, who didn't receive one vote.
Well, that's one way of making the point. And finally, I think it is incumbent upon us to address the continuing controversy. Kudos to Michael Knowles for understanding the brilliance of Donald Trump's raising the issue about Haitians eating the cats. His analysis of that strategy reflected our own that we covered on last week's show that was titled Catastrophic Developments in Springfield, Ohio. Thanks to Trump's ridiculed and criticized eating cats and dogs comment, the issue of uncontrolled mass immigration has once again been forced to the top of this election's agenda. Because Trump's comments stated a truth, his credibility and popularity have soared as social media is flooded with songs and memes, turning Trump into a hero figure. And in this context, here's a very interesting comment made by Glenn Beck about his meeting with Donald Trump, and this was before the Harris-Trump debate.
I was meeting with the president on Saturday, and he said something offhanded to me, and I was going in a direction of research on something, and he said, Glenn, I think there is something that is bigger than the economy right now. And he said, the economy, we're killing them on the economy. He said, they have no place to go on the economy. They have no record on the economy. He said, but what's happening now in our cities and what's happening in Ohio and elsewhere in Denver, he said, I think this is actually a bigger thing than the economy. And he is absolutely right.
Consider what that means. It means that Trump very carefully and shrewdly planned in advance to raise the issue during his debate with Kamala. How he was able to do that in a restrictive and biased debate format was, as I said last week, a stroke of genius. You know, I recall hearing another commentator lamenting that Trump talked about eating the cats rather than raise the more serious issue of child trafficking and missing children. Had he done the latter, the commentator suggested, people would now be singing about missing children instead of singing about cats. I don't think so. Never mind missing children. He's completely missed the point, particularly since he was on a talk show talking about missing children because of the cattroversy. I mean, singing about child trafficking is to me an abhorrent thought. While the number of people directly affected by this heinous crime is dwarfed by the number of people who have cats and dogs and can relate to cats and dogs. Now, I can't imagine that Trump could have predicted the public response in the exact form that it took, but I have a feeling that this phenomenon will go down in history. To drive that point home, check out this European crowd dancing and singing, eating the cats, followed by a brief Mark Dice commentary on why, get this, cat lives matter.
Pennsylvania Senator John Ham Sandwich for Brains Fetterman, wearing his usual attire, his pajamas, being asked about Kamala's flip-flop.
Vice President Harris, as you know, once supported a ban on fracking when she was running for president in 2020. She even sued the Obama administration to prevent fracking off California's coast. Now she says she will not ban the practice as president. Why should voters trust that that is really what the vice president believes?
They're eating dogs. They're eating cats. Yes. And any more on fracking? I think.
Well, I want to ask you about the Middle East, actually.
You know, you can't really blame him because that has become quite a catchy tune.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat.
Even three-year-olds have heard the song, and as this woman demonstrates, her son can't stop singing it.
Eat the dog. You eating the cat. You eating the cat. Eat the dog. You eating the cat. You eating the cat. Eat the dog. You eating the cat. You eating the cat. Eat the dogs.
Where did you hear that?
That's what I see. So I'm thinking
it's important. I know, but did you hear that on the TV?
I did.
Or mommy's phone? Where did you hear that?
Wait a minute.
Where did you hear it on my phone?
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did?
Yes, I did.
Don't sing that at daycare.
Well, good luck with that, lady. But one thing that you should do is order my new Cat Lives Matter shirt from my online store, markdice.com.
Cat Lives Matter t-shirts. Love it. I wonder if we're ever going to see Cat Lives Matter violence and riots. Well, for further developments on this front and others, be sure to join us again next week when we will continue our journey in the right direction. And until then, be right, stay right, do right, act right, think right, and be right back here. We'll see you then.
Fade into color, color into black and white. Under the bedclothes, everything will be alright.
Tell the truth, don't be bullshitting people. Like I say, there's enough bullshit as it is. There's enough bullshit as it is. In fact, there's just enough. Did you know that? There's just enough bullshit to hold things together in this country. Bullshit is the glue that binds us as a nation. Where would we be without our safe, familiar American bullshit? Land of the free, home of the brave, the American dream. All men are equal, justice is blind, the press is free, your vote counts.